It is good to be here once again as we're here to study the Word of God. This is part four of the sermon, Some Things Everyone Needs to Know. And we want to write on the blackboards of our minds that everyone needs to know that Christ has all authority. Everyone needs to know this, that Christ has all authority. Our denominational friends need to know that Christ has all authority. Our brethren need to know that Christ has all authority. We want to look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 29. Jesus talks about and gives an example of a man. And we'll read 29 here just in a few minutes. That when people hear the word of God and obey the word of God, it's like a man building his house upon the rock. And when the bad weather comes, that house is going to stand. But the man or the person who hears the word of God and do not obey the word of God is like a man who built his house upon the sand. And when the bad weather comes, it wipes him out. So we want to make sure that we build our house upon the rock, that we recognize Christ as the authority, that he knows more than we do. Because if I change something, I'm acting like I know more than God. I don't need to change anything. And that's what I tell my brethren, you know, we don't need to change anything because God knows what's best for man. And so we want to look at Matthew 7 and 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now the scribes were writers and they were secretaries, but they weren't inspired. The scribes were people who could quote the scripture. They knew the law because they wrote it. They were secretaries, but they were not inspired. Christ taught as one having authority. If you look at Matthew 28 and verse 18 now, Matthew 28 and verse 18, Christ has all authority. That's my point for right now. We're going to continue to look at some scriptures, and we need to write it on the blackboards of our minds. And I know there are people, I like the, and nothing wrong with the PowerPoint, I enjoy that. But you can put up all the beautiful pictures and all of that. But until we write it on the blackboards of our minds and keep it there, when we leave the building, I tell brethren, when you leave the building, you know. And I remember, brethren, there's some brethren, I remember this back years ago, just when church was over with, they get out in the parking lot and turn the music up wide open. God knows they done forgot all that teaching, that sermon, but we got to write it on our minds and keep it on our minds. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus, he talking to his disciples, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. We'll just stop reading there, but he says, I want to focus on all authority, Jesus says, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Authority means legal or rightful power, the right to command or to act. Okay? Now, he didn't say all authority has been given to the Pope. All authority has been given, and we enjoy and love elders in the local church, but all they are commanded to do is carry out what God says. They cannot make laws. They cannot break laws. Why? Because all authority belongs to Christ in heaven and on earth. He's our Savior. Because of sin, Christ died to become our Savior. Dealing with both Jews and Gentiles, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that shows us that we all need a Savior. 1 John 3:4, I'm going to read that real quick. 1 John 3:4, where the Apostle John, he writes here. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. That's what it is, just lawlessness. And there's no big sins, there's no little sins. All transgression is sin. And we know there's consequences for different sins that people commit. Men rob a bank, and they catch him, he going to jail. Now, he can get forgiveness of that. He can repent of it, but he's still going to jail. That's the consequences of that. And so 1 John 3:4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And sin is just missing the mark. You can get a picture of put up a target on the wall, and where you're throwing darts or either a ball, and you shoot at it. And when you miss it, that's the point. You missed it. When you hit it, you're okay. When you miss it, that's ain't got one of those deals. They got it where it's got magnets on it. You throw it and it sticks to it. I thought that's pretty good, because those sharp darts, you hit somebody in the arm with them things will hurt you. But we can get the idea of just missing the mark. We can get the idea of hitting the target. Sometimes I hit it, sometimes I miss it. And that's what it is. That's what it is. We all need a Savior. I don't care who the person is. I don't care how much money that man has. He needs a Savior. Matthew 1:21. Look at Matthew 1:21 here. And I know this time of the year, people are thinking about Christ and talking about him and singing about him, and nothing wrong with all of that. But we need to continue to think about him and talk about him and sing about him when Christmas is over. But that's what they're doing now. And of course, he didn't even tell us to celebrate his birthday. He tells us to remember him when we partake of the Lord's Supper. But as a holiday, we can celebrate the holidays. He's our Savior, 24/7, not just sometimes just people think about him during the Christmas time, but we need to be close to him and get close to him every day. In Matthew 1:21, talking about Mary, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. We all need Jesus. We all need him. Look at Luke 2:11. Luke 2:11. Luke 2:11. Okay. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ a Savior who is Christ, the Lord. So there we have it again for verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And we need it. If we don't obey Christ the Lord, even though he came to save us from our sins, and everybody knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish. Said he wouldn't, but he should not. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. God didn't send his Son into the world. You listen to me. He did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So everybody can be saved if they would obey the Savior. They can be saved. Romans 5:8. Now you don't have to turn here. I'm going to, and you can write them down or listen to them later or whatever. But if you look at Romans 5. And verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's love. He died for us when we were still sinners. God's love, as we look at verse 8, God's love is truly remarkable. He receives us just as we are and then begin to make something beautiful. The song that we sing, in his time, he makes us beautiful in his time. And it does take time. It takes time. It's not going to happen overnight, but it does take time. And it takes a lot of patience. And I'm reminded where Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. But I want to show you another person in the Bible by the name of the Apostle Paul. 1 Timothy 1:15. And Apostle Paul, he really appreciated Christ dying for him. Because 1 Timothy 1:15, because there he at one time he persecuted the church, and you know about all of this. He was going around killing Christians, and he thought he was doing the right thing. And he said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. One man told me one time, you know, he said, Mr. Wood said, God will forgive a man of any sin except blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. If he ever blasphemed, Brother Woods, Mr. Woods, he won't be forgiven. I said, that's not true. Because the Apostle Paul, he talked about that one time he was a blasphemer. He was very rude. He persecuted the church. But Jesus saved him. He saved him. And if he saved him, he can save any man. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Of whom I am chief refers to Paul. He says, I was the chief of sinners. But he was a redeemed sinner. He obeyed the gospel. He had been saved by Jesus. Jesus can save any man, any woman, any person. Paul, he still remembered what he did to the church of Christ, and he regretted it. He remembered that. That memory don't go away. He remembered, but he regretted it. But he was just so thankful that he saved. He saved. And we should feel the same way. We ought to just be thankful that we're saved. even though our past is gone, when you go down into the water of the grave of baptism, whatever people have done has been washed away. Your past is gone. Now, so you can remember some things, but we don't dwell on that. Well, we dwell on where we're going, not where we've been. You don't dwell on that. Man has the responsibility of obeying. He just has the responsibility of obeying. And I'm reminded of Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, where Solomon said, let us hear. After he done everything, he did his own thing. He did his own thing. And he come to the end of his life, pretty much. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and we fear him by obeying him. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And that's what we need to do. We fear God by obeying him. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. You know. And I think that Solomon had in mind, and right to divide in the word, God is not going to bring up our past, things that we repented of. But I believe that the state that a person die in at that time, they're going to be judged like that. That's what they're going to be judged. Because I know God ain't going to judge me for throwing rocks when I had a tobacco barn in one of the neighborhoods. Me and my friend throwing rocks at them drunken guys that was drinking. And on top of this building throwing rocks at them. God's not going to bother me over that. I done repented of that. Then he looked up and didn't see nobody. We drop our heads down. Don't you do that. He's not going to bring it up on me. But we did that back in the day. But anyway, Matthew 7:21. Remember Jesus said, I can quote those scriptures. You can too. Let's look at Matthew 7:21. And I know I shouldn't have thrown up rocks at them drunks coming down that alley. Matthew 7:21. Let's look at that. Let me get back where I need to be here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. See, it's not enough to believe in Jesus. One must obey Jesus in order to be saved. There are people who believe in the existence of Jesus, but we must obey him to be saved. People are talking about Christ, like I said, during the holidays. They're singing about him. They call themselves celebrating him, and they drinking and carrying on. That's not celebrating Christ. A lot of people do some things during the Christmas holiday that they normally would not do. The only time some people would take a drink is around the holidays. And we have to be real wise. Nothing wrong with somebody asked me one time, is it okay to go to the company's Christmas party? Yeah. Yeah, as long as, you know, I went to mine when we had them. But you can let your light shine in those places. Somebody bring you a set of bottle or whatever on the table, tell them, I don't do that. I don't want that. And I remember one preacher went to a gathering, some type of meeting, business meeting, and they was all at this big table. And they had the glasses already there, and then the waitress come to pour your Jack Daniels or whatever you wanted. And then the preacher told me that what he did, he just turned his cup upside down and let him know he didn't want any. I don't want it. And then all the rest of them looked at each other and, no, we don't want it. See how he influenced them? He influenced those people. And sometimes that's what we do. We have to let our light shine. it's not enough to just believe in the existence of Christ. We have to obey him. We have to obey him. This means one must make sure he is obeying the word of God. We must study the word of God with a pure heart and be sure we understand. We understand. See, when we study the word of God, we've got to understand. The Ethiopian did not understand Acts chapter 8. Philip taught him. Sometimes we need a little help on, sometimes I may need a little help on some scriptures. But we got to understand. We must obey the words of Jesus with the proper motive as Jesus' teaching. We've got to have the proper motive. Obedience is always a part of saving faith. Just have it mentally in our hearts is good, but we got to act on that. Faith without works, we know, is dead. There is only one proof of love, and that proof is obedience. It's obedience. 1 John 5 and 3, a verse that we have probably memorized. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I looked up the word burdensome, denotes a weight, anything pressing on physically, Vine says. And the word of God is not a burden. It becomes a burden when I don't want to do what it says. That's when it becomes a burden. But other than that, it's not a burden. Jesus was the perfect example of this. He was a perfect example. Jesus lived and prayed. He lived the prayer he prayed in the garden. He lived that prayer. Remember what he said? Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Matthew 26:39. And that's the attitude that we have to have. Not my will, but thy will. Because if I want my will, it ain't gonna work. If God says no, that's what he means. He means no. When he says yes, he means yes. Luke 6:46, Jesus, he asked those disciples one time in Luke 6:46 as I was reading that, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If I'm going to call, if people going to call Jesus Lord, then he's our ruler. We do what he says do. Jesus pointed out that those who call him by this title of respect acknowledge submission to him. If you, Luke 6:46, if you call me Lord, then you need to obey me. If I'm your ruler, then you obey me. However, when these same people ignore his teaching, they were guilty of hypocrisy. He's our Savior. He wants us, he gives us what's best for us. Look at Romans 6:17. We're almost finished. We have a few more scriptures here. Now, and we just have to always remember that we want to be a slave of righteousness. We want to be slaves of righteousness. And so in Romans 6:17, and you got to really work on this, because Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking someone to destroy. Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that though you were, that's past tense, not now. He's writing to these Romans. He said, but though, God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart, the mind, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, how did that happen? When they went down into the watery grave of baptism and had their sins washed away. Set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. See what he says there? Now, even after baptism, sometimes we're going to sin. We already know that. But we're not going to be a slave to it. We're not going to be slaves of sin. And that's what he was talking about here. We are slaves of doing the right thing. That's what we want to work on. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Talking about God, Jesus Christ. Now, he had no sin. Jesus never sinned. But he learned obedience. And let me go over there and read that. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. We've read this in before as well. But listen to what he... Now, you got to really watch these verses. And sometimes it takes a while to kind of understand them. Though he was a son, talking about Christ. Hebrews 5 and 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. See? He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Now, let me explain to you what this verse means, because he never sinned. Jesus didn't learn obedience through sin and error. That's how we learned it. That's how we learn. But Jesus learned what obedience required. He learned what obedience required. It required suffering. Obedience requires suffering. He went through the suffering. And by him going through suffering, he understands us. But he didn't learn obedience by the things that he suffered. He never sinned. But he knows the requirement of suffering. He knows how we feel. Remember David, King David said that it was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your righteous statutes. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. And so it is. It's just a blessing to keep his word. Revelation 22:14. One more scripture here. And we'll extend the invitation. In Revelation 22 and verse 14. Listen to what he says here. Now, if you want to be blessed, follow God. You want to be blessed, then follow God. Because he tells us right here, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Now, everyone needs to know, as we wrap this up, I want to be blessed. You want to be blessed. Do the will of God. And we're going to be blessed. I'm focusing more on the spiritual blessings, but I think too that you'll be blessed in other ways because of making the right choices in life. Everyone needs to know that Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. Conclusion. That's what we talked about. He has all authority. He's the boss. Everyone needs to know when we obey God, we will be blessed. Most of the spiritual blessings I'm more or less thinking about. I'm not going to take away the physical blessings. We'll be blessed that way too. But some of the physical blessings, we can lose that. But you still will be blessed in a spiritual way. There may be someone out there who's not a Christian. If not, you need to be a Christian. Christ died for your sins. And if you lose your soul, it'd be your own fault. One must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. One must believe the gospel. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. One must repent of his sins. Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then one must confess Christ before men. Matthew 10:32, Jesus tells us, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized. That'll put one in the church that's in the Bible. And if you are a Christian and have stumbled and failed, and get up and try again. You know, I remember those days when I was a kid, riding that bicycle. I remember one time, I think on Combs Avenue over there, they had blacktop. Half of that road was blacktop. Then the other, they hadn't finished that road yet. And then the rest of it was gravel. And man, I was carrying the mail, so to speak, called it. And then hit that drop off. And that wheel kind of went there a little bit, and it slid me right down at the gravel. Well, guess what? I got skin up, went home to Mom. She was picking gravel out of my chest with a needle. And guess what? I didn't quit. After he picked all of that out, I got back out there and rode the bike again. So the same with the spiritual. You're going to fall, but get up and keep trying. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, please come while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.